La Jolla, California, UC San Diego Athletics presents TritonCast, the podcast for the UC San Diego Tritons. Here are your hosts, Jeff Toriel and Jenny Stevens.
Welcome to episode 24 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. Alongside Jenny Stevens, I'm Jeff Toriel. Whether you found us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, UC San Diego's website, or any other platform, we're so happy you've joined us this week. If you like what you hear, do us a favor and subscribe, rate the show, and write a brief review. That'd help us out a lot.
Coming up in this week's Triton Spotlight, we chat with sophomore Katya Pavicevic from the swim team. The Toronto native tells us what it was like to represent her country at the Junior World Championships and at the Junior Pan Pacific Games. She also chats about her impressive freshman season, what it was like to have her season cut short in the midst of the NCAA championship, and why the pandemic has helped to shape her planned career path. We'll also lob some rapid-fire questions at Katya in our new Quick Pick segment. Our conversation with Katya Pavicevic comes your way shortly in this week's Triton Spotlight.
But first, let's go around campus. As the fall quarter comes to a close, we take a look at how teams have had to adapt to challenging circumstances. We've got recaps, conversations with coaches, photo galleries, video content, and more from your favorite Triton teams. And one UC San Diego head coach recently added conference commissioner to his resume. Read more on ucsdtritons.com.
Lots of great content. You definitely won't want to miss it. Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Here's our conversation with UC San Diego swimming sophomore, Katya Pavicevic.
Katya, how did you end up at UC San Diego?
Well, I'm from Toronto, so when I started looking at colleges to go to, I was leaning really heavily towards somewhere in California just because I've always liked the warmth and being by the ocean. So I kind of started exploring schools on the West Coast and was naturally drawn to UCSD after some research just because of the strong academics. And then I talked to some of the coaches, especially Marco, made me feel really at home. And after my recruit trip, I just decided that it was the place for me and I had to come here.
Had you spent any significant amount of time in warm weather, or was it more of the not wanting the Canadian winters?
I had vacationed with my family a bit in like the Caribbean and in Europe in the summer because that's where my extended family's from. But I had never really spent a long period of time anywhere on the West Coast in America. So I think you could say I was probably just trying to get out of the cold.
Were you dead set on coming to the United States, or was that just happened to be that fit your other criteria, warm weather, academics, and so on that drew you here?
I think a big part of that was I always looked up to certain Olympians like Rebecca Soni, and she went to school at USC. And so I kind of saw that as a natural path after high school was coming to the States to continue with my education. And in Canada, the system's a little different in terms of scholarship and athletics. So I liked it, the idea of coming to the United States a lot more, I think.
And what were those conversations like at the dinner table with family as far as, you know, hey, I may go to another country to further my education?
I've been really lucky in that sense. My parents have always supported everything I've ever wanted to do, and I couldn't be more thankful for them. I think I mentioned going, I talked with them about going to college in the States probably when I was in my freshman or sophomore year of high school. And they said, okay, how can we help? How can we make it happen? So I don't think they were too far thrown off. I know my mom was a little hesitant about me going all the way to California, but it was a gradual process. And they were really, I don't have any siblings, so it was just my parents and I talking it over. And they really helped with the transition. So I couldn't be more thankful.
And as you're in high school and you're having these discussions with your parents and you're thinking about your future, walk us through that recruiting process. What was that like?
So basically, I know it's different in the States, but in Canada, you don't really get recruited if you want to swim in college. It's a recruitment process, but it's not as lengthy and intense as going through NCAA protocols. So I started my recruitment process a little late just because of the I wasn't sure what to expect, but I basically researched schools. I got a couple emails from coaches after my summer at Junior Worlds when I had passed whatever qualification or time period when I could start receiving emails. And so I researched some of the schools that emailed me, gathered a list of schools that I like dreamed of attending and hoped to attend, and got back to certain coaches, emailed certain coaches who hadn't emailed me yet, and kind of started a correspondence there and saw which schools had what to offer and called some coaches and eventually arranged recruit trips. And I went from there. After, I think UCSD was my second to last recruit trip, but after I came here, I kind of decided I knew I wanted to go, but I also wanted to give every school that was giving me the opportunity to visit them a fair chance.
These recruiting visits, was this one long extended trip or was it a lot of back and forth across the border and time zones?
It was a lot of back and forth. I remember I took a trip to the University of Michigan and I was flying out, or no, it was actually my trip to UCSD. I had a swim banquet with my club team on a Wednesday night. I came home packed, and the next morning my mom drove me to the airport and I flew to California, and it was a 5.5 hour flight. And I remember doing schoolwork on the plane because I was missing 2 days of school.
Wow, that's wild. And
So I think I did that every other week or so.
Oh, over how long of a period of time was that?
About a month, because NCAA rules state, I think, that you can only visit 5 schools on an official visit. And I think I visited 3. So a month.
And you touched on this at the outset, but ultimately after the visits, you said that after you came here to La Jolla, you kind of knew that UC San Diego was where you wanted to be. But what went into kind of the final, this is it, this is what I'm going to do?
It was definitely the team atmosphere. The school had the programs I wanted to study, and Coach Marco and Coach Kirk really made me feel like this was a place I could grow as both a person and a swimmer. So when I combined all that and weighed it against other schools, I felt like UCSD by far had the most to offer to me. And I have never regretted that decision for a second.
Let's go back to kind of how it started and we'll come back to UC San Diego in a little bit. But how old were you when you jumped in the pool and started swimming?
I had been a pretty active kid for most of my childhood. My parents felt that playing a lot of sports was really important, and because both my parents were athletes. So I think I learned to swim as a toddler and kept doing swimming lessons all throughout elementary school and kindergarten, just learned to swim programs. And then after I finished all of those learned swim programs, my instructor pulled my parents aside, I think, and she said that she thought I could do competitive swimming. So I think that was around the age of 8. And right after that, my parents signed me up with the club near our house. And that was when I started competitive swimming.
And were you playing other sports at that time?
Yeah, I played tennis. I ran track and field with my school. And I did a lot of other sports during the summer when I wasn't swimming full time. So I think I did volleyball, a little bit of basketball with my dad, but mainly just tennis and swimming.
And you were pretty serious with the tennis for a while, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. In the end, it came down to deciding between tennis and swimming.
How'd you make that decision, or what put swimming over the top?
Well, tennis was a pretty solitary sport. It was just a lot of hours on the court with me and my coach. And then at the end of the day, I was 11 or 12 when I ended up making the decision. And I just wanted to be around my friends. I had made a lot of really good friends. Some of them I'm still in touch with today. And that was just where I wanted to be. It was a little bit of like a childish decision, but I still don't regret it. It's where I was meant to be, and everything happens for a reason. So
as a swimmer, at what point or at what age do you start to specialize in an event or events?
When I was younger, I definitely swam everything. I think that's really important for kids starting out to swim. But when I made my first nationals, it was in the 200 breaststroke, and I was 11. And I had started to specialize a little bit before then, just because I had moved up a group and that coach saw some potential, I think, in breaststroke for me. So around that age and after nationals, I had started to specialize in breaststroke. But I also swam a lot of IM, so I got to keep some of the well-roundedness in all strokes.
And was there a moment that you can remember where you thought, hey, wow, I'm pretty good at this?
I remember it was a team travel meet, and it was provincials, which is our like states in Canada. And I had was swimming the 200 breaststroke, and I wasn't expecting much. It was a relatively large meet, but I wasn't in any of the fastest heats. I don't think I was even seated first in the heat. And I went and swam it beside one of my friends from a different club. And I either beat her or I came second really close behind her. And I turned around and looked at the clock, and I had dropped a bunch of time. My coach at the time and two of my best friends were standing at the side of the pool screaming their heads off. I looked and saw my mom, and she was doing the same because I just made my first nationals at 11. And I was like, oh, like, wow, like, this is kind of serious. Like, this is kind of a big deal. And I went to nationals later that summer and swam and had fun doing it. And I think that was the first time I realized, like, oh, wow, like, this could really be a thing.
Yeah, what an honor. What was it like to later represent Team Canada and represent your country at the Junior World Championships?
That's one of the best experiences I ever had in my entire life thus far, at least. Like, that trip was so much fun. I have pictures from that trip still in my room today. It's almost like indescribable. Making the team in the first place was just a huge honor. And traveling, it was in Indianapolis, and the pool there was just amazing, and the atmosphere was amazing. And I got to meet so many different people from so many different countries. And doing that while representing Canada was just the biggest deal to me. Swimming aside, it was just a great experience, and I wouldn't trade it for anything else.
And how did that come about? How did that qualifying come about?
So in Canada, our qualifying standards and meets are a little bit different than the States. We have our Olympic trials and qualifying trials in April instead of, I believe it's July here or June. And so I knew I had a chance of making the team because Swimming Canada sends out a list to kids who are in the top eight of their events who have the potential to make the team, just to give them a heads up, I guess. And so my coach had pulled me aside and talked to me about it. And I talked to my parents, and they all really believed in me. So I figured I was going to give this my best shot. And this was a year after I had come off. I had a pretty brutal season the year before. I had a really bad knee injury and didn't swim breaststroke for 6 months. So I figured like I was going to just try my best and see what I could do. And I ended up going, swimming my race, just swimming it for myself, not for anyone else or any like particular goal in mind. And I made the team. And from there, it's basically a bunch of signing forms, corresponding with the team managers, figuring out what to do, where I have to be at certain times. And planning ahead for that summer. And I think we had staging camp in Toronto that year. So 2 weeks before the competition started, we were, the entire team gathered in Toronto. It was about 14 of us. It was a relatively small team, 14 swimmers. And we all got to train together and practice together. And then we all flew together to Indianapolis.
What a cool experience. And I know you've done other traveling related to swimming. I know in 2018, you participated in the Junior Pan Pacific Games in Fiji. What do you remember about that?
Oh, that was another really cool trip. I'd never been anywhere remotely close to Fiji. And it's always been a dream of mine just to travel there on my own, regardless of swimming.
Is that just because the pictures are pretty on the internet?
Yeah, pretty pictures and just what you can do, like all the travel videos I've seen of what people can do in Fiji. And so they announced that it was going to be in Fiji because usually Junior Pan Pacs is in Hawaii every year. So this was the first year, I think, in a while that it hadn't been set to be in Hawaii. So I kind of went in with the same mentality as the year, 2 years prior, or a year prior, I guess. I just wanted to go to the trials. It was in April again, swim for myself, not with a particular goal in mind. It was in the back of my head, I guess, when I was swimming, but wasn't my focus. I just wanted to have a good race, swim a good time. And I was swimming beside one of my best friends. She was someone I'd been swimming with since I'd been competing with since I was 11, and we'd grown really close over the years. And she swims at Florida State right now. So she was also another huge reason I decided to look at coming to schools in the US. But I just raced my 200 breast. That was the first event I qualified in. And I saw that I had gone the time you needed to qualify and placed high enough to qualify. And I remember getting out of the pool and just running over, and we had both made the team, and it was her first junior national team, and just hugging each other. And we were both just so proud of each other. And then being able to travel to Fiji again, we did a staging camp this time in Fiji as a whole team. And for Junior Pan Pacs, the team was a lot bigger. I think it was over 30 swimmers at least. So again, I'm at a loss for words. It was a really cool experience. My races aside, I wouldn't trade anything in the world for it. I made a lot of new friends again. And it just goes to show that swimming isn't an individual sport like everyone thinks it is. It's really a team sport.
Can you go into that a little bit more? What makes swimming really more of a team sport than many of us might think?
I remember, I guess when I was younger, my club team would travel to a meet called Team Champs. And that was also a selection meet. So not everyone got to go. Our club selected 4 swimmers in each gender for each age group category. So 4 boys and 4 girls for 10 and under, 12 and under, so forth. And that was my first glimpse, really, of seeing my entire club across all ages come together and really support each other. I remember when I was 10, I was selected for the 10 and under category when I still wasn't super serious about swimming, but I really liked it. And I remember 18-year-olds who at the time seemed like so much older, a complete grown-ups coming up to me and high-fiving me and cheering me on in my races. And it kind of sunk in at that moment that I'm not alone in this sport. Like, even though I may swim in my own lane separate from everyone else, there are people behind the blocks, people on the sides cheering me on. And as I grew older, that feeling kind of came and went. And I rediscovered it here at UCSD because, again, one of the big differences between college swimming in Canada and America, I feel like in America, the idea of the team is a lot more emphasized, especially towards the end of the season in conference and in nationals. it's a really big deal to be together and mesh together as a team. One example I think of that at UCSD was the women and men had a dual meet against UCSB on, I believe it was a Saturday. So we traveled to them, drove back that night. And on Monday, we had a long weekend, so we didn't have school, and we had a long course dual meet against Cal Berkeley. Their women's team came to us, and it was just a women's meet. It wasn't women and men, but the entire men's team from UCSD showed up to cheer us on a Monday morning where they had no morning practice. And that really just meant a lot, seeing all of them there supporting us, even if they didn't have to.
That's so interesting. And you mentioned that meet against Cal, and in that one, you set school records in the 200 meter IM and the 200 meter breaststroke. Was it competing against Santa Barbara a couple of days prior? Did that give you confidence that, hey, we can, you know, compete well against a Division I opponent, knowing that Cal was right around the corner for the women?
Yeah, definitely. UCSB is always a really tough school to compete against. That was my freshman year, but I remember our schools have a rival history. So we went into that meet. I don't think we won that dual meet. It was close, but we didn't win. And I had won the 200 breaststroke at the dual meet, but it was close. Definitely wasn't a wide margin, I would say. So I was a little nervous going into Cal, but the Cal meet was long course, whereas the dual meets are short course yards. And I grew up swimming long course in Toronto. So I definitely swam long course for more than half my practices. So that was a little bit of reassurance. And my 200 breaststroke was the second event of the day. I had swam the 100 before it. So it gave me a bit of a warm up. But I think UCSB definitely did prepare us for it, having that competition, that close rivalry with them. Just establish that, like, we can compete with girls and teams like Cal. They're one of the best women's swimming programs in the country by far. And just the opportunity to race them was amazing in itself.
Katya Pavichevich, our guest this week on TritonCast. I want to go back to the Junior Pan Pacific Games in Fiji that we were discussing a couple of moments ago. I trust you had some downtime while you were there. Did it live up to your dreams?
Yeah, we had one afternoon off, I remember, where we took our team bus to another beach and we had lunch and just a day to hang out at the beach, swim in the water and vibe, I guess you would say, as a team, to kind of get a feel before the meet started. And I remember, like, the island itself is stunning. And the locals there were so nice and so inviting. It just really made you feel like, obviously, I wasn't home. Fiji is very different from Canada, but it made me feel welcomed, which just made it that much easier to enjoy it and swim fast and swim well.
And you told us earlier about your experience with the Toronto Swim Club, where you were there for about a decade. How does that club experience compare to swimming in school, like for high school? How does that compare?
That's another difference between Canada and the States. I never swam for my high school swim team. It's not really a big deal there. My high school a lot was focused predominantly on the music program and our academics. There wasn't such a heavy emphasis on sports, especially the swim team. So I just found myself, like a lot of other Canadian kids, just doing swimming outside of high school.
So you almost turned to the club to get that athletic experience because you're not getting it at school?
Yeah, it was never... there was never even a thought in my mind that I would, like, really swim seriously in high school.
And take us back to the point you were making a few minutes ago about a training long course versus short course and what those differences truly are.
Mm-hmm. So in Canada, we don't train short course yards at all. I think the one time a week I would train short course yards was sometimes an occasional Friday morning. Our coach would, I trained at the University of Toronto. That was who my club was affiliated with. So we had their facilities at our disposal, which is extremely lucky. I can't imagine a lot of other clubs who have an entire university to train at. So they had a short course yards pool upstairs that was used predominantly as a rec pool. And so on some Friday mornings, my club coach, Bill, would take us up there to do some fast race pace. And that was very occasionally. I focus mostly on short course meters and long course meters because my season consisted of September to December. I swam short course meters competitions. Then from January and through the entire summer until August, I swam only long course competitions. So my training schedule varied between swimming long course and short course meters throughout the year. And after December, we focused mostly on long course. Whereas when I came to UCSD, it's basically the opposite, where I don't swim short course meters anymore, which I'm not complaining about. I didn't really like short course meters anyway. We swim a lot of short course yards practices. And last year, we swam a lot of Tuesday. I think every Tuesday morning was long course meters.
And what about the difference between swimming indoors versus outdoors? Is there much of one?
Yeah, for me, it was really hard to get used to swimming backstroke outdoors, not having the ceiling to follow. Because in Canada, obviously, it's really cold. So I basically never swim outdoors. I think I swim a couple practices outdoors in the summer in August when it was warm enough. So I got used to it pretty quickly, I would say. And it wasn't something I was complaining about, that's for sure. I liked being in the sun and getting a nice tan while swimming at practice. So it was, it's still an adjustment even right now, but it's not something I'm complaining about.
Here in Southern California, is there any indoor at all for you?
No, not that I've noticed.
That's very interesting. All right, so take us back to UC San Diego in your freshman year. We've talked about some of the success you had, and we talked about that Cal meet specifically. Let's go to the MPSF championship, which was in LA back in February. Specifically, you set the school record in the 400-yard medley relay. What do you remember about that?
That meet was kind of a blur. I just remember, again, doing a lot of cheering. My dad had come to watch me. He had a business meeting, I think, in Western Canada, and flew down to LA that weekend. And that was the first time I had seen him since Christmas. So it was really exciting for me getting to see my dad. And so obviously I wanted to impress him a bit. And so I'm trying to go back to the relay, but I just remember whatever relay I swam at UCSD, it didn't matter if I was on the A team or the B team. I just had a lot of fun swimming them. The girls on the team are extremely supportive. And I remember Grace Murphy, my friend, she's a senior now. We always went back and forth kind of who would swim the A, who would swim the B. And it didn't matter which one of us got the spot. We were always happy for each other. And so this time, I think the coaches asked me to swim. And I don't remember, we didn't really go in with the attitude of like, let's set a school record. It was kind of, let's go in, let's try and place high, score points. And just coming out with a school record was the cherry on top. And it was exciting for sure. I just wanted to have a good race for the team and score some points.
And at that MPSF event, UC San Diego was the only Division II school in the conference competing then. Is that something you were aware of and talked about as a team?
Yeah, for sure. I remember watching the 4x100 women's relay, and I think we came first. And I remember it was a big deal because we had upset all these big schools that were D1 schools and just showing them that doesn't, just because we're D2 doesn't mean we're not here to compete.
And so now heading into this year in Division One, does that change your team mindset at all?
No, I think that's one thing that hasn't really changed. We never really saw ourselves as D2 or less than D1. We were a team. We were there to win and do the best we could. Now that we're D1, that just means we get to do it against other schools.
And so then let's go a little bit later into February to the NCAA championships in Ohio. Obviously, the event got cut short. I think I said February, I meant March, due to what became this pandemic that we all now know a lot about. But what was that experience like up until the event was halted?
Well, I had actually fractured my foot 2 weeks prior to flying to Ohio. Just a freak accident after class one day. So I was really unsure if I was even going to go or swim because I was in a boot the entire 2 weeks leading up. I slept with the boot on. I had crutches. And I was swimming a bit in practice with some sort of cast, kind of. And I remember, I think it was a couple days before we left, Coach Marco asked me to put on a racing suit and do a dive 200 IM and a dive 50 breast, just to see like mentally if I could handle the stress on my foot. And I did better than expected. The doctors I had been working with and our athletic trainer, Christian, really helped me through all of that. And so I ended up deciding I would swim at NCAAs and I would just try and do the best I could to go and score points because we were really in it to win the competition as our last year this was our last year as a D2 at the D2 NCAAs. So I swam the 200 IM in the morning and I remember I had made the B final, which is obviously not what I was placed, but with my foot and everything, I was happy with it. And I went into finals and I swam a best time. And my best time put me first in the B final and would have placed me fifth in the A final that swam a couple minutes later. So I was really happy with that. With a fractured foot, I don't think anyone, including myself, really thought that that was possible. So that really proved to me that, I can swim this. I can keep doing this. So the next day I swam the 400 IM in the morning, which is my toughest event. And that one was a bit of a struggle, but I still managed to get into the B final. And that was really what I was there to do, was to score as many points as I could. And right after that was the final. Well, not right after, but later that day was the final session. And I remember getting to the pool. The team, we were really on a high. I think the men were seated high up as well as the women. The night before had been the 4x50 medley relay and our women's team came second, which scored a lot of points. And one of my friends in the freshman class, Sophie, she had made NCAAs. I think she was invited in the tune of free. And which means I think she'd be placed 24th going into the meet and she made the A final. And that was a really big deal. So I was really excited to watch her swim in the final that second day. And so when we got to the pool, we were all sitting on our bleachers. I think we were one of the first teams there, and just over the loudspeaker comes on this voice. And I remember it like it was yesterday, like a purge-like voice just saying like, swimmers, exit the pool. The competition has been canceled. And just the shock on everyone's face. Because we had joked about the competition getting canceled because the NCAA had announced that Division One nationals were canceled. But we had started our competition and we're basically halfway through. So we just assumed that they would let us finish. So I think it was just a big shock when they canceled it. Disappointment for sure, but the team really rallied around each other and we got through it and we're on the other side now. So it's just about moving forward.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what that must have been like in that moment. now that you've obviously had many months to reflect on that, as an individual or as a team, any regrets or anything that you or your teammates wish you had handled differently or had thought about differently in that time?
I don't know. I don't think I have any regrets, and I don't think the team does either. I just wish that it could have happened, but I understand why it couldn't have. And I think it's just important to move on and only look towards the positive. We did get to go. We did get to compete, even if it was for a day and a half. And some people came out with some really great swims and some best times that still count. So that's a positive.
And for you, as the COVID-19 pandemic began to spread rapidly, and obviously we're all starting to understand the severity of it, you're in Ohio. You, I assume, came back here to San Diego. And then were you trying to get home to Toronto? And what was that like?
Yeah, so we flew back to San Diego early in the morning, and Coach Marco had called me and told me to call my parents to try and find a flight out back to Toronto as soon as I could, because there was rumor of shutting down the borders. And I didn't like the idea of being stuck in my dorm room and for indefinitely. I didn't know how long it would be. So I think it was a day or two later, I got on a flight back to Toronto. And I remember my friends dropping me off at the airport and saying goodbye. And I was just like, oh, like, I'll be back in 2 weeks. Like, don't worry about it. We'll see each other soon. The longest it'll be is like 7 weeks, because the school had announced that classes were going to be online until May 5th. So I assumed I would come back for in-person classes. And fast forward to September was when I finally came back to San Diego from Toronto after leaving in March.
Wow. Unbelievable. So when you got home, how did you stay in shape, or how did you continue to train while you were apart from the team?
Well, when I got home, I think I quarantined for 2 weeks inside my house, because that's the law by Canadian government. So I did that. I was busy with finals week anyway, so I wasn't too upset. And I still had the boot on my foot because my foot was still fractured. So I was mostly, I was able to walk with the boot by then. So I was going on walks with my mom after I got out of quarantine. And then I started working with, the pools weren't open in Canada yet, so I started working out with my trainer from my club swimming career. I had a personal trainer outside of club swimming who had worked on different strength goals of mine. So I saw him twice a week or three times if I could manage it. So that was really how I kept my fitness up until pools reopened and I ended up going swimming on my own, kind of.
Katya Pavicevic, our guest on TritonCast. So when you came back to campus this fall for fall quarter, I know it's been quite different being on campus. What has the experience been like?
So I live off campus now with two of my best friends on the team. We only live about not even a 5 minute drive from campus. But it's really different not being able to go to campus for class. I do all my classes in my room or in the living room with my roommates. It just, it was something to get used to, that's for sure. But I mean, it's just something to get used to, just another obstacle. And I come to the campus to train every day now, so I get to see a little bit there and then.
And what has training been like here during the fall quarter?
It's been nice seeing my teammates every day, even if it's behind a mask and from 6 feet apart, I don't mind. So I train every afternoon from 1 to 3 now, from Monday to Friday and sometimes on Saturday in the mornings. And I have APU classes, which are like, our version of weight or lifting sessions with the athletic trainers Monday, Wednesday, Friday in the mornings. So that's been the extent of our training so far.
Definitely keeping busy. I know that recently you took part in the US Open in Irvine. What was that experience like and how was qualifying for that event?
So I think my times from the Cal meet in the previous season had qualified me for the meet in the tuna breast and 100 breast. And I didn't know if I was going to get the opportunity to race long course again that entire season. So I talked to my parents and I talked to Coach Marco and decided that I was going to swim at the US Open meet, regardless of how long or little I had trained leading up to it. And we had done no long course training at all leading up to it. So it was really just a meet for me to go see where I was fitness wise and just see what times I could produce with little to no stress. So it was fun. I drove up to Irvine and one of my best friends on the team, Huli, was swimming as well. She was the only other girl from our team swimming, and the sessions were definitely different. They were split up in women, and then after the women were all done their events, then the men would come and warm up and swim. So I didn't see any of the guys really who were there to compete from our team, just Huli and I. And it was fun. It was fun racing again long course. I was definitely a little nervous going in, but warming up in the long course pool and just having the opportunity to race again after so many months of not racing, it was fun. I just went in and had fun. And my times I didn't want to put as much pressure on myself as I usually do. So the times to me didn't really matter as much as how I swam my race. I just wanted to swim a good race.
And you were pleased with your performance?
Yeah, for sure.
So you mentioned at the top that one of the reasons you chose to come to UC San Diego was because of the strong academics at the university. So as a human biology major, what is it that you want to do in real life?
Interesting story. I actually switched my major, I think, a couple weeks ago. I switched to a global health with a Bachelor of Science and a minor in biology now. And potentially I might add a minor of psychology later. I'm not sure yet. But I think after graduating, I've always really looked forward to or thought about going to med school, I guess, and seeing if that was something I want to do. But as I move forward with classes and doing my global health major, I really like the opportunities that present itself there. So I'm just trying to keep my options open for now. I'm not really sure what the future holds yet.
Well, you got a couple of years. I'm not trying to rush you.
Yeah.
Has the pandemic influenced your thoughts on a career path at all?
Yeah, definitely seeing how overwhelmed healthcare workers have been during the pandemic makes me really sympathetic to their struggles and how this whole pandemic has been dealt with and inspired me in ways. Their courage has inspired me to try and be able to do something. If it's not working as a doctor in the medical field, then doing something to provide resources for them or work with organizations that specialize in these sorts of healthcare crises.
And is, again, not going to hold you to this, I promise, but is the intention to go back to Canada after you graduate?
No, not at all. I don't really know if I want to go back, not in a bad way. I just not sure what the future holds. Definitely med school in the States is an option, or continuing to live here in California or wherever else is definitely an option. I like to keep my options open. So I'm not going to say no or yes, but I'm not quite sure yet.
That's okay. You got a couple years. Katya Pavichevich, our guest on TritonCast. You ready for some quick picks?
Yeah, I think so.
That's good. You have to say yes to that. All right. So I'll ask you a question and just first thing that pops to mind, some of these are kind of this or that choices and some of them are just fill in the blanks, but we'll see where we go. Here we go. Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
Pancakes or waffles?
Waffles.
What's one thing about you that would surprise even your close friends?
That I really like running.
Have you always been a runner?
Yeah.
What is it that you enjoy most about it?
I think the runner's high you get from it when you're done running, you kind of feel elated. And it's a nice workout. I've always liked running, but not a lot of people would know that since I don't really get out and run as much anymore.
Well, and how's the foot now?
Oh, the foot's healed, so it's good. I remember after my foot healed and I kept texting our team physician, Christian, just being like, can I run now? Can I run? And him having to say, hold off, like, not yet. But when I finally got the okay that I could slowly start jogging, that was the best.
And were you kind of the first time you were able to go jogging again, were you a little nervous to put pressure on it?
Yeah, for sure. I wore these big, I'm looking at them right now in my room. They have a lot of support. They're ASICS running shoes. And I remember tentatively just like hopping almost on that foot without trying to put a lot of pressure, and then getting into a jog and not feeling any pain. And I was like, oh, okay, this is okay. I can do this. And just running for 2 minutes on, walk for 1 minute, 3 minutes of a run, 1 minute not running until I got up to 5 minutes and then walked back home.
Favorite holiday?
Christmas.
First celebrity crush?
Cody Simpson.
Do you prefer singing or dancing?
Dancing.
Are you good at it?
I wouldn't say so, but I'm also tone deaf, so I think I definitely prefer dancing, even if it's not my best.
What is your favorite type of music?
Lately I've been listening to more indie music, I would say, but I also prefer podcasts, I think, over music.
Favorite podcast?
Anything Goes by Emma Chamberlain, or Between Good and Evil with Charlotte D'Alessio. She used to go to my high school, so, and now she's a famous model, so kind of like keeping up with her.
That's pretty cool. How do you discover podcasts?
Through social media mostly. Oh, I also like the Rich Roll podcast. That was the first podcast I really started listening to, so I have to mention that one too.
Do you listen to them on like 1.5 or 2x speed?
No, I like to listen to them when I'm either working on homework or driving. So they kind of just put me in like a nice concentration.
Metric system or imperial?
Metric.
Kind of figured you would say that. Favorite flavor of ice cream?
Oh, bananas Foster.
Least favorite food growing up that mom or dad made you eat that you just did not like to eat?
Brussels sprouts.
Have you turned the corner on those?
Yeah, for sure.
You actually like them now?
Yeah.
How'd that come about?
I think as I grew up and started getting more serious about swimming and fueling my body and what I was putting into it, I realized that they're not all bad. I was just being a little bit of a brat. I didn't like how they looked, which was mainly why I didn't like them. But now I don't mind.
Well, they say you eat with your eyes, right?
Yeah.
Biggest cultural adjustment to living in the United States?
I remember when I first got to school, I was talking about what I wanted to have for dinner. And I said pasta, and people here say pasta. And I still haven't lived that one down because I still say pasta. So every single time I say it, all my friends make fun of me. But that's not really, I guess, a cultural adjustment. That's just something I noticed.
Yeah, that's an accent. That doesn't count.
Yeah. I think it would probably be, the weather in California, but that's more of an East Coast, West Coast thing. It would, driving here is different for me because you guys use miles per hour. I'm used to kilometers per hour. And the highway signs are all in miles. So when it says the exit is in a quarter mile, I don't realize how close that actually is. I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, that counts. We'll give you that one. Did you grow up speaking French? I know that you're required to learn it, right?
I didn't grow up speaking it in my home, but I grew up speaking it in school. So from fourth grade all the way through high school, I learned it and spoke it.
Would you feel comfortable having a conversation in French?
Sometimes I do with my roommate, but that was last year, kind of. I haven't spoken in a while, so it probably wouldn't be very good right now.
Well, Katya, thanks so much for joining us tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wow, I love those quick picks. That was so great. I think what really stood out to me the most, though, is just her experience being from Canada, because, I mean, obviously she talked about how that impacted the recruiting process, making all those different flights. And of course, even just the small things, like now that she's here, adjusting from miles per hour to kilometers per hour, and just such an interesting conversation with Katya.
It was. And who'd think that you'd get a hard time just for saying pasta, right? I enjoyed that conversation very much. Very interesting person, very personable. And her story is super fascinating. I mean, think of all the amazing places she's been and all the terrific experiences she's had because of her hard work in the pool and the success that she's had as a swimmer. That's really cool.
Yeah, definitely a joy to listen to. And it was so interesting just hearing about all her different experiences that she's had through swimming. Coming up on episode 25 of TritonCast, we meet women's water polo junior Holly Main. The Southern California native is an ocean lifeguard for Los Angeles County, and she's won 13 U.S. surf lifesaving competitions. We'll find out more about that in our next episode. New episodes of TritonCast premiere each Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to this week's show. For more on TritonCast, follow us on Twitter at TritonCast. And if you've got suggestions for a future guest, send us a tweet or email Jenny and me. Our email address is TritonCast@UCSD.edu. We'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter at TritonCast.